Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure to be back here with you again and to look into God's Word together. My family, they were announced as being here, but as you'll notice, they're not here at the moment. It is an hour later at home. The kids go to bed at 8, so they're 20 minutes past their bedtime already. So Julie's home putting them to bed, and you're probably thankful because you'd notice them. Anyway, it's nice to be here. We're going to read a verse together. John chapter 17, please, to begin. John chapter 17. And just the one verse, verse number 3. John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's all the reading will do for the moment. And we will just look to the Lord again for a short word of prayer before we go further. Father, we just give you thanks this evening for the privilege it is to come together as those of like precious faith, to have your holy word to look into together. And Father, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he has accomplished, for who he is, and for the privilege that it is, Father, to know that as we look into the written words of this holy book, we thank you, Father, that by the Spirit of God, these written words can live in a very personal way to each of us. And Father, it's our prayer as we look forward to sitting under the sound of your word and sharing from it over the course of this weekend, that we would have the privilege that our hearts desire of hearing in a very personal way from yourself. So Father, we give you thanks for the privilege, and we look to you to hear your voice, and we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is a wonderful verse as we read our Lord Jesus Christ in this prayer, describing for us the purpose, we could say, of eternal life, that we might know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who he has sent. We would agree, of course, that it's always been God's purpose from the beginning of creation to manifest himself to his people. From Adam and Eve in the garden, God's desire was never that his face would be hidden from his people. We read after the fall that the Lord God came and he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And we often would say that that had been a common occurrence. The scripture doesn't specifically say that that had happened previous to that moment. However, we suspect, of course, that that was the pattern, that the Lord would come down and he'd walk with Adam in the garden. And even after the fall, we find that it was God's desire that he would be close to his people. And we can trace through scripture from Enoch to Noah to Abraham. We can go through to Jacob and Moses and Joshua, Samson's parents, David, the prophets. All through the Old Testament, we find God wanting to be near, wanting to show himself to his people. We think of his mercy in setting up the system of the offerings and setting up the tabernacle in the midst of his people, not so that the people would be pushed away, but that they could come close, so they could see what God was like and what his character was and demonstrated in the offerings, and God wanting to be near and to manifest himself to his people. Now, throughout the ages and dispensations, the manner in which God revealed himself has changed. We think of the opening words of the book of Hebrews, that in ages past, through different ways and times, God spoke through to the fathers, through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And we think of the revelation that occurred when the Son of God himself was born, and God was manifested in human flesh. It's a marvelous thing. It's something that our little minds can never really take in, I don't think, that the Almighty who spoke the universe into existence, there was a time in the person of his Son that he stood right here on planet Earth, and he ate the food we eat and slept and experienced. He knows what it's like. And he came to reveal, to manifest, to unveil what could never be seen, the invisible God. And he brought him so that man could see God face to face in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see God wanting to reveal himself to mankind. And yet today you talk to somebody in the street corner. I remember I started a job and I was on a long car trip with my new boss. It's different. For those of you who have people who work above you and for you, it's hard to talk to the people who work for you about in a corporate situation, in the workplace. You may find yourself unemployed the same moment. That almost happened to me once. But to your boss, it's different. You can witness to your boss, and that's a different story. We were driving the car together, and the conversation came up, and his first words were, "That's fine that you believe. I am an agnostic." And people use that term, I suppose, and not even really sure what they're saying. But what he meant, and we had a little conversation about it, there is perhaps a supreme being out there, and there is evidence in the universe that there probably is a supreme being, and yet he can't be known. That's what the word really agnostic means, not able to know. And there's a God, but we can't know this God that is out there. And of course, it's a tragedy, isn't it? To think of what God did so man could know him, that he came down and eventually went to the cross. Now, during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he made it clear. He spoke very plainly to the disciples, but they didn't quite understand what he was telling them when he said, "I'm going to go away. I'm going to be leaving." You read through the later chapters in John's Gospel, and they didn't quite grasp what he was saying when he said he was going to be leaving. But he did tell them it would be a benefit to them that he was going away. And we'll think of some of those verses in just a moment. So God manifested himself in the Old Testament, sometimes in a vision, through prophets he would speak. Then God came down in Christ, and face to face he revealed himself to his people. But there was a day, as he told the disciples, "I'm going to go away." And after he was crucified and put in the tomb, he rose again. And there was a brief period of about 40 days that the Lord Jesus Christ manifested himself to his people, just on a few select occasions. And then he ascended back up to glory, and the disciples watched him go. And other than, we'll say, Stephen and Paul, caught up into the third heaven, we believe it to be him. And other than that, we'd say there haven't really been, none in Scripture really, recorded instances, other than John at the very end, caught up with these revelations of people seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we would say with Peter, whom having not seen, we love him. Because even though the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven, he is still manifesting himself to us, isn't he? We're not talking about physical manifestation, but the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to, desiring to show himself to us even now. And then, of course, in eternity, we read, "Though now we see darkly through a glass, but then it'll be face to face, and we will be with him and like him for all of eternity." And so God wanting to manifest himself to us. If I was going to give a little title to the series that I'll be bringing in the Lord's will to you this weekend, it would be Christ manifesting himself to us. Now, I'd like to focus in on the period between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension. And there's a period, as I said, of about 40 days when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to his people on just select occasions. As it was in the 3.5 years previous to that, the Lord Jesus was with his people all the time, wasn't he? And they were with him, and they sat with him, and they could see his facial expressions and hear his voice and just enjoy everything about him. And then suddenly he's gone. And yet, every now and then, over a 40-day period, he would just manifest himself. And I'd suggest that what we have in those 40 days is a little pattern that would tell us about the present dispensation we're in and what we could expect when it comes to when the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very particular way, might manifest himself to us as we walk with him. Most of the Christian life, as we know, is lived we might say much of it's in the valley. Just going through, by faith, walking along step by step through difficulty and trials and all that the Christian life brings to us. We just move forward by faith, resting in the Word of God. And yet there are moments when the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very special and particular way, will manifest himself to us. And we would say, like Peter did, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. This circumstance, this verse, what this brother or sister said to me, that's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. And we never forget these instances. You can think of them in your life, I'm sure. And that's not our daily occurrence. We go through days of just going through the routine, reading the scripture and our time of prayer. And we wouldn't say that every day we have these experiences, and yet there are times. And we covet that. We want a fresh vision of Christ. We want that sense of his nearness, that sometimes when we need it most, the Lord will come near and say, it's the Lord. Be not afraid. It is I. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, we think of the appearances of Christ between the resurrection and ascension. There are 10 or 11. And the reason I say 10 or 11, it's not clear when they were up in Galilee whether or not the appearance to the 500 at once that we read in 1 Corinthians 15 happened at the same time as the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples on the mountain in Galilee. Some would believe that that happened all at the same time. Some would believe it was different. So we'd say 10 or 11 times. Some of the appearances of Christ between those 40 days, we know nothing about. We read that he appeared to James in 1 Corinthians 15, his brother James, and the scripture doesn't really tell us what happened. We read of a private meeting with Peter. He appeared first to Peter, and we don't know really what happened in that meeting. Well, there's a public meeting with Peter in John 21, and we know something what was said there, but not the first meeting with Peter. And so we have some occasions when we know what was said, and the Holy Spirit has seen fit to record for us exactly what happened. And there are some great lessons, I think, that we can learn. So I'll just run through what the appearances were, and then I'll focus in on what we're going to be looking at over the course of the weekend together. So the very first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection occurs in John chapter 20, and it's to Mary Magdalene. And we'll just read a verse or two there, John chapter 20. It says in verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' And he goes on to manifest himself to her there, and she realizes who it is. It's the Lord. And that's all we'll say about this particular appearance, because Lord willing, we'll spend a whole session thinking about the Lord Jesus' appearance to Mary. But that was his first. Now, there were a group of women, and if you look at Matthew 28, and just to get the chronology down, if we could a little bit, Matthew 28 and verse number 9. Verse 8 says, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And let me just compare that, if you would, to a verse in Luke 24. So we have to flip around a bit just to get a sense of who he showed himself to first and in what order. But Luke 24. And verse 10. It says, "Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." So the chronology, as I understand it, the angels told the women at the tomb that Jesus was risen and said to them, "Go and tell the disciples." And the only way, and I can see that this works, and if you have a different thought, you read different people saying different things, but here's how I suggest to you this worked. The Lord, the angel said, "Go tell the disciples, Mary and the other women." They left together, and they split off into two groups. Mary Magdalene went to Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. We believe that to be John. She went to them. The other women went to tell the other disciples. Now, Mary Magdalene got to the other two first. They came back to the tomb, and they looked in, Peter and John and so on, and it says they went back to their own home. But Mary stayed. And the Lord Jesus appears first to Mary. From there, Mary leaves, and the Lord Jesus leaves that place, and again, however that happened, he just was not there. And then he appeared to the women, the others who had been there first. We read the occurrence in Luke, or in Matthew 28, they held him by the feet. And so we have first Mary, then we have this other group of women. And we don't know, again, a lot about that, just what a couple of phrases the Lord Jesus said to them, and that was about it. Now, after that, we have the Lord appeared to Peter at some point, and we don't know just exactly, again, when that was. But we know that because after the two on the road to Emmaus, and again, for sake of time, I was going to turn to these scriptures, but 30 minutes seems to sneak by awfully quick. The Lord Jesus, we know on the two on the road to Emmaus, after he showed himself to them, they turned around, they went back to tell the disciples, and they said he appeared first to Peter. And so the occurrence to Peter, somehow they learned in that interaction that Peter himself had seen the Lord too. So we have Mary Magdalene, the other women, Peter, the two on the road to Emmaus. We have six appearances in 9 days. We then have the Lord Jesus appearing to the 12 the first time. I guess we'll say the 11 minus Thomas, or 10 maybe we'll say, minus Thomas. And then we have, although again there's interesting questions because it does say the 12, so I'll leave that to you. Judas, of course, wasn't there, and Thomas missed him. And then the next week, the Lord Jesus appeared again, and Thomas was there in John chapter 20. And so we have two appearances to the 12. After that, things go north to Galilee. We have John chapter 21. Down on the seashore, Peter said he was going to go fishing. Some went along with him, and the Lord Jesus appeared to them as they were working. Following that, there's the appearance on the mountain recorded in Matthew 28. There's the appearance, and again, the order is not, it's not disclosed in Scripture. There's the appearance to James, the appearance to the 500 at once. And then finally, back down in Bethany, on the Mount of Olives, there's the final appearance when the Lord Jesus, we read in Luke, he lifted his hands and blessed them. He gave them the Great Commission, and as they beheld him, he was parted from them and went up into the clouds, and that was the last of the appearances of Christ. So we have 10 or 11 times the Lord Jesus, over a period of 40 days, showed himself. Now that's obviously intriguing, because he could have showed himself any number of times, he could have showed himself many more times, or fewer, or not at all. But why those times, and why to those people, and why did he say what he did at these particular times? So what I'll suggest, and the way we'll be looking at this together, is that these are perhaps a pattern for us as to how Christ may show himself to us now. And I'll just leave you with, before we go back, turn it over to Brother Keith, the five areas that we'll I guess we'll just have a chance to look at four, but I'll leave you with the fifth one. Areas where Christ manifested himself and where there's a great deal said about it in Scripture and some of the things we can learn. Now, the first one, as I said, was Mary Magdalene. And that's a fascinating thing to think about, and we'll save that for tomorrow to ponder that. But his first appearance, of all the people he could have showed himself to, was Mary Magdalene first. And I'll suggest the lesson we could take from this is that the Lord Jesus Christ will manifest himself to us in response to our seeking him. In response to our seeking him. And that was the heart of Mary. She wanted him. And so he manifested himself to her. Now, secondly, we have Peter. The Lord Jesus manifests himself to Peter. Now, I realize we're skipping the few words to the women on the road as he met them there, and there's some, again, that there are lovely things I'm sure we could say, but over four messages, we'll just have to leave them. We're just going to think of these sort of major ones. The next would be Peter. First Mary, then Peter. A private meeting, and then there's much more said probably a few weeks later up in Galilee. In John chapter 21. But I suggest we have there that the Lord Jesus Christ will manifest himself to us when it comes to restoration of a brother or sister who have wandered and yet have repented and yet feel themselves to be at a distance from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has obviously a great care as the shepherd for his people when we wander off, and he wants to bring us near, and we find him so tenderly to Peter coming in restoration. Then we have, there's Thomas in John 20, and the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. And there's something in common between these two manifestations of Christ. In both cases, the disciples were lacking in their faith. Thomas said, "Unless I see, I will not believe. Unless I get to touch, I won't believe." And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't even scold him. He did say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and believed." And yet, in his kindness and grace, he did exactly what Thomas wanted, because he wants our faith to be strengthened. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Well, here I am. You go right ahead. You reach out and touch." And so Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," his faith is strengthened. And then the two on the road to Emmaus, if we have time, we'll look at that particular passage too, and you see how the chapter starts and how it ends. It ends with them with their sadness walking along, and the chapter finishes, as I'm sure you've noticed, with great joy, as the Lord Jesus Christ turns their sadness into joy by manifesting himself to them and strengthening their faith. Number four, John chapter 21. The disciples go out to work. And again, I know there are different thoughts. We often hear, and perhaps you believe and have said before, that they were wrong to go out fishing in John 21. I take the opposite view of that. And if you disagree, that's fine. When we get to heaven, you'll find out I was right. So, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's how we'll take John chapter 21. We'll think about how the Lord Jesus Christ manifests himself to us in our daily work. And as they went out fishing, the Lord Jesus showed himself. And there's much that Scripture has to say about this. And then finally, and perhaps the most famous, if that's the right word, would be the Great Commission. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the last words of people are very important. And he leaves them with the Great Commission. To preach the gospel and to see that people come to Christ and then are built up in the context of local churches. And so we have the Great Commission. So these five areas, I think, are the major areas. We'll probably select four of the five, Lord willing, and look at those over the course of the weekend. And I'll summarize with someone else's words. Speaking of the appearances of Christ, just a little phrase, but it's sort of what got me actually thinking about these manifestations. This brother wrote this. He said, "We don't see him physically, nor does it happen every day of the week or every time we read the scriptures or on every occasion that we do some work for him. But from time to time, in the midst of life, studies, griefs, and duties, true to his promise, he comes to us and manifests himself in a way that is overwhelmingly real to our hearts. We sense the glow of his presence, the vibrancy of his life. We hear with the heart's inner ear the rustling of the shepherd's robes beside us, and we say with deep conviction, it is the Lord." And we trust the Lord will be pleased to do so for us this weekend as we come together and open the scripture and seek him. And so may the Lord bless his word, and we'll turn the meeting over for this evening to Brother Keith.